Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's Sunday, which apparently means it's time for the front three with me, Adam Baldwin, the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Hey, it's Sunday. I like Sundays.
Sunday, lovely day.
Beautiful, beautiful weekend of weather in the UK. Tweet us now. Let us know what the weather's like in your hometown.
Oh, very nice. And we've also got Dave here as well.
Well, Sunday is fun day, but it's really strange where the front three is today, Adam. Is there any reason for it?
Well, I couldn't do a podcast this day. And I suggested that we do one on Sunday to wrap up the weekend's actions, talk about everything that's gone down.
I like it.
It's been it feels good.
It's a new format, Dave. We should almost make it into like a live show.
It was my dad's birthday yesterday, of course. Well,
happy
birthday. Yes, it's his birthday today, actually.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Saw him yesterday.
Ooh.
Happy birthday.
What's his Twitter handle, Adam?
Doesn't have Twitter, unfortunately.
Oh. But what's his YouTube?
He should get on that at Dad Boltwood. He needs to get on that. He needs to get on that hype.
For now, someone make that parody again.
Let's talk a little bit about the football then. The football has been overflowing this weekend, Dave, and perhaps the most momentous result, at least in the Premier League, is Leicester dropping points against West Ham, a 2-2 draw, plenty of incidents to discuss, not least of which Jamie Vardy. Was it a dive, Dave?
Yeah, I've got definitely a dive. He went down like an absolute bag of beep. But you've got to punish players for doing that type of thing. And you know, anyone who doesn't think that it wasn't a dive should watch the replay and reconsider what they're thinking.
It's 50-50 because it was a
blatant dive. It was a silly thing to do. That you know, in the game, Leicester City were playing well at that point, and they were dominating defensively. They looked really, really sound. You know, Kante was excellent again. Drinkwater was brilliant, bursting forward. Structure looked very good. So for me, it was a massive mistake from Vardy, trying to con the referee into a decision. It didn't work, and rightfully got sent off. His first booking was also definitely 100% yellow card. So for me, the referee got it spot on.
Worst time to get sent off. I mean, they're in this critical run at this point. I'm almost, you know, I almost want to say, Adam, it's un-English, and for that reason, he shouldn't go to the Euros. It's funny how people don't question the racism at the beginning of the season, but as soon as he dives, oh God, that's not English. There's nothing English about that, mate.
It was a pretty dramatic match anyway. John Moss coming in for a lot of criticism on Twitter. A lot of people accusing him of being a Spurs fan, essentially. It was 2-1 up until the dying moments. When Leicester got a penalty, which Aloha put away. Big result for them. I think Ranieri after the game, Lawrence, said psychologically it was important that they didn't lose.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, I do think Ranieri is very good at saying something but not really saying anything. He's developed that as an exercise this season because, you know, English isn't his first language, but it is, still a language. He's basically at the point now where all he has, you know, when you sort of talk to people and they're really superstitious and you go, looking forward to today? And they go, I'm neither looking forward to it nor not looking forward to it. It's that's sort of the way that Ranieri now has to feel questions, because obviously he'll realize in the fullness of time, come the end of the season, if he's going, yeah, I can't wait to win the title, then if they don't, then everyone's going to be like, ah, you're an idiot. So I think he's doing very well at just sort of sitting on the fence right now and not really saying much. Post-match press conferences very rarely mean anything. you know, I mean, even Rafa's pre-match comments for Newcastle, very much just like very sort of wallpapery kind of, we need the fans, blah, blah, blah. You're sort of like, well, yeah, of course we do. Mm. You know, you're not in an empty stadium.
It was a pretty insane game though, Dave. I mean, John Moss had to be escorted off the pitch at the final whistle. by a sort of bouncer looking bloke.
But it is good that Sam Allardyce was there.
Oh yeah, yeah. He did well to turn up. But it's important for Leicester in terms of if Spurs win tomorrow night at Stoke, that would have closed down the gap to 4 points. As it stands, it would be 5. I mean, do you see this title race being opened back up now?
I think it's never closed. I think that's the thing. Leicester City have the three really hard games, West Ham, Chelsea, Man United. We keep going back to that, but that's it. They could potentially pick up no points in those sort of games. So it's definitely not closed. And I do think that Spurs have got a big opportunity now to again put pressure on. It's interesting. I think Toby Alderweireld came out this week saying that he played for an Ajax team that was, I think it was something like 10 or 14 points behind PSV Eindhoven at one point. No, I think it was FC 20, sorry. And they went on to win the league. So he's sort of comfortable in this situation. They've done this before. And if he can get that around the dressing room, they can start to believe that this is their destiny in a way. I think that's how Pochettino's got to sell it to the lads. It's still on. We've still got to, we've got to pick up these wins. Going to Stoke is going to be a very difficult game this season. We don't know what Stoke's team sort of turns up. Sometimes you get a really good ball-playing team. Sometimes you get the old aggressive team. But other times you just get a very poor Stoke team. So it's going to be interesting. But Spurs, Harry Kane, Dele Alli, they've all got to be on form. Christian Eriksen, Lamella. I think it will be an attack versus defence game for Spurs. So they've got to work that fullback wide, get him in behind the opposition. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great game.
It's also I think that's part of the issue, isn't it? Is that we've still got 5 games to go and people are talking as if the season is over. I mean, people last week were talking about the disrespect of Leicester City and stuff by saying it's not over. But until it is mathematically over, I think it is disrespectful to anyone to talk about a season as being sort of done and dusted. So of course that's still wide open. You could even say the same if you flip the table and look at Newcastle, Sunderland, and what happened between Sunderland and Norwich, and also what happened with Newcastle. Everyone was saying Newcastle are now down. Even I was thinking it just a week ago. But now Newcastle, what, 3 points from Tottenham, from Norwich?
Yeah, indeed.
And interestingly enough, I think both of them, I think Newcastle maybe have 3 games and Sunderland may have 2 games before Norwich play their next Premier League game.
Yeah.
So again, put Norwich that big into pressure, the relegation big zone. Pressure, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think, Ranieri hits upon a good point, though, like you said, Adam, is it's the psychological side of things.
Mm. And because it's a last-minute penalty as well. That's the thing. Do you think it was a penalty that last minute? It seemed pretty innocuous. Mandy Carroll, he does sort of barge into Schlupp.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate. If he is a Spurs fan, then he's a Spurs fan who favours Leicester.
What do you make of Andy Carroll, Dave? Big impact. Scoring at one end, giving away a penalty at the other.
Yeah, I was just questioning Bilic's decision not to start him. It was very weird. Manike came up against Wes Morgan and Robert Huth, and they gave him absolutely nothing in the first half. They bullied him, they battered him. He was, on the ground a number of times, a few head collisions. It just seems a crazy game. This seems like a game made for Andy Carroll. He's just scored a hat-trick. His confidence is absolutely flying. West Ham were just crossing the ball endlessly against Arsenal and getting a lot of, positivity in the play from that, from playing balls into the box. Arsenal were worried, and it seemed like, to test Robert Huth and Wes Morgan, potentially you could have gone with 2 strikers, but having not have starting Andy Carroll for me was absolutely crazy. Didn't understand it one bit. And again, Antonio playing at right back, he's all of his best play that we've seen over the last few weeks, even where he's played right back or right wing back, it's always been going forward. And again, the second goal came from a brilliant bit of individual wing play from him. I'd say he's probably one of the best right wingers in the Premier League, as in a right winger, not an inside forward Mahrez and the rest of the gang. Actually one that hugs the byline and can create something from a wide area from crosses. I just don't understand why Antonio's not playing right midfield and Andy Carroll's not starting up top. But obviously Bilic has made a number of mistakes this season, but he has corrected them. Again, he corrected it today. He did, correct it in the second half. Martin Obor had a pretty poor performance, and bringing Lanzini on was a good decision. So eventually got it right, but again, Bilic did struggle with his starting lineup.
But should he go to the Euros, though? That's the real question.
No. Next.
next question. You mentioned Newcastle there, Lawrence, Sunderland as well. 2 big 3-0 wins for them. Benitez saying, the side have got newfound belief they can beat the drop. Still doesn't look great for them, despite that victory.
Well, I don't understand why you don't think it looks great for them. I mean, they're they're within one win and one loss of one of the other two sides of going level or above those other teams. And goal difference would be a huge part in that as well. I think Newcastle actually have somewhat of a favourable goal. I'll look at the table before I say that. But, I mean, the big side of it is that we've seen Benitez's way slowly creeping into the side. And this was one of the first times that we actually saw them looking like a more dominant team. And, you know, essentially the same for Sunderland as well. What's funny is it's really... Norwich are almost they seem like a hapless bystander to what's going on between Sunderland and Newcastle, because it's almost like both of them are like, right, I'm climbing above you. No, I'm climbing above you. So it really doesn't matter where, you know, like Norwich almost feel like they're superfluous to the story for Newcastle and Sunderland, you know?
Yeah.
And I sort of felt a bit sorry for them.
So 3-0 against Swansea, Newcastle won. Sunderland obviously beating Norwich 3-0 as well. In terms of the fixtures coming up, though, Newcastle have got to play Man City. They've got to play Liverpool in their next two games, as you say, before Norwich play their next game.
So actually, it was good for Newcastle's goal difference, because they're minus 26, whereas Norwich are minus 25 and Sunderland are minus 18. Blimey. So in terms of it being good for Newcastle, they're going to have to be pretty high scoring if, come the end of the season, it goes down to something like goal difference.
It's going to go down to the wire, isn't it? I mean, who are the teams you think are going to go down then? Who are your picks for the two? I think it is going to be Sunderland and Newcastle still, to be honest.
Good question, Adam.
I'm sticking with my prediction from last week, which is Norwich,
Spurs,
Newcastle, and of course Aston Villa, who were relegated by the mighty Manchester United on Saturday.
Yeah, the one good thing that your team has actually done this season, Dave, how does that feel? The one thing that your team has actually achieved is relegating another side. Imposing misery on another team, and you were part of it. You will always be part of that treasured memory.
And you've got
David
a weight
Villa
off of
Jolyon down.
Lescott's shoulders as well.
Yeah.
Poor old Jolyon.
The Instagram quote is not a correct one. Like, he's misquoted on Instagram. But his quotes do sort of go to a similar tone, but similar words, but not the same tone.
His exact quote was, "It's about results. So regardless of how we played in patches today, we are relegated. But now it's confirmed. Yeah, maybe it's solid. A weight off the shoulders, and we can give these fans what they deserve: some performances."
No, that's meant to be weeks ago, Jolyon. <Yeah. laughs> 33 games ago, that was when you were supposed to be giving these fans performances. Oh, it's a real relief to be relegated. We can finally start performing well now. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Either way, you've let the fans down, and they don't give a... they don't care now.
Mm.
What is there to win? The whole point of putting in a performance was that it would give them the hope of staying up. If you're just going to put in it... Like, if you're going to go out there and start playing like the Harlem Globetrotters... That's not going to give anyone on any sort of hope for next season. They're not going, "Oh, I can't wait to, you know, play Rotherham next year." No disrespect to Rotherham, but you get what I mean. A lot of gallows humour around Villa Park as well.
Chanting Jolyon Lescott, "He's got a new car." That was the Villa fans' chant yesterday.
What's funny is he said as well, as a fan myself, I've heard Jolyon Lescott is a fan of West Brom, a fan of Aston Villa, a fan of Wolves, a fan of pretty much everyone.
He just loves football, Lawrence. He loves football.
Football's the way. I think that's actually what he ended his quote with. He went, "We're relegated, but I think overall today, football's the winner."
Right.
In many ways, that's true. He was like, "I'm so existential, aren't I? That'll go down really well in the Championship."
Relegation confirmed then, Dave. But the worry is there doesn't seem to be signs that they could come straight back up. It looks like this could be... You know, the fear is it could be an extended stay in the Championship, if not lower.
You'd say so. This team's absolute rubbish. You know, there's nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. There's nothing in this Man United team, but let alone there's absolutely no threat at all from this Villa team. John Neu looks at a few little half breaks, but he looks a little bit overweight since he joined Villa. He was quite lean. Now he looks overweight. You know, look at Kieran Richardson and Bakuna playing out wide. There's nothing there. Nothing in central midfield. It's just... And then there's nothing at the back. They just have nothing in that side. And, you know, there's Championship teams there that have quality that potentially won't go up this season. You know, that the playoffs in the Championship are quite competitive this year. So if Villa do go, you know, Villa are going to go down, are they going to come back up? Probably not. The likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, you know, Hull City, Brighton. If they don't make it up into the Premier League, they're going to be the ones that will be fighting for promotion next year. And you say Aston Villa are probably going to be fighting relegation again, to be quite frank.
The other result in the Premier League today, Lawrence, was Arsenal 1, Crystal Palace 1. Another disappointing result for Arsenal, who seemed determined to finish fourth.
But Pardew absolutely marches into the boardroom at Crystal Palace going, "Told you, got another result. There we go. That's the point you needed. Give me another contract."
It was,
I get us over the line. Yes, but Alan, the point is you're playing teams that are low on confidence or not feeling it. Doesn't matter. I'm better.
All those old frustrations are exploding again. I saw on Twitter people talking about having a protest, a Wenger out protest on Monday outside the stadium. It's a disappointing end to the season when, you know, you had a season where Chelsea have obviously had a complete meltdown. Manchester City are sort of not quite performing as they should have. Liverpool, now at the end of the season, are starting to show signs of what the transition under Klopp may be like. Arsenal just underwhelming.
So yes. Underwhelming. Yeah. I feel like the big problem again, I've got to allude to it again, is Sanchez not playing through the middle. You look at when he links up with Ozil and it looks really good. It looks like they've got that understanding. Why not play him up front? He's a player that can score you 20 goals in a year and there's no one else in that squad that could do that. And again, it just confuses me so much. You know, the guy doesn't defend, doesn't track back. So why are you playing him in a wide position? Don't understand it. I don't understand Wenger. I don't understand Arsenal this season. They've completely blown up. Really have blown up this time.
Complete. It's just, you know,
It's mental. Look at the table. United are now 4 points behind Arsenal. This is one of the worst United. Shit. Yeah, United are really fucking shit. They are so shit. Every week I have to spend 90 minutes of my life watching that shit. And yet, are there only 4 points behind Arsenal? I don't understand.
That's probably the biggest insult you can lay at Arsenal's feet, is the shit Man United side of 4 points.
You don't have to, but yeah.
Yeah. And West Ham are only, what, 7 points, 6 points behind them now as well?
Yeah, seven behind Arsenal.
A little bit of a disappointment. But it looks like it's petering out. You know, you'd expect maybe Arsenal could have made it a little bit interesting, try and keep pace with Spurs, because if nothing else, Arsenal fans obviously still want to finish above Spurs, but that's looking even unlikely now. And that's something that's happened since before the dawn of time, I believe. Also this weekend, Rangers v Celtic, Lawrence.
Shit.
A few banging goals, dramatic penalty shootout, an open goal miss. Good to see that game again, the passion. And it's going to be a regular thing from next season, which is obviously good in itself.
Yeah, I suppose so. I've never really been a huge fan of the Dave, you know you're not on mute, right?
No, I'm just laughing at your diplomacy here, Lawrence, because quite frankly, this was one of the worst sort of... The Celtic and Rangers, they're not great at the moment.
Neither of them are particularly good. I think we all remember, you know, none of us remember the great sides of the 80s or whatever because we're all too young. It seems a lot like people grabbing for relevance in a place where they've been let down by a lot of other people. I mean, I was listening to a really good interview by Graham Hunter with Joe Jordan today, and they were talking about the wonderful Scottish sides of this, I think it's 74 and 78 Euros and World Cup and those sort of things. And they were saying how they were the only side that went to South America to represent sort of the powers of the United Kingdom, if you like, or Great Britain. And, you know, that sounded like a great team, but we can't keep harking back to things that are gone now, stuff that's still in the 90s. You know, I know it's still relevant and there's a lot of bad, but, and it's, you know, obviously it sounds sort of not very, I don't know how to put it. Basically, it doesn't have, because of everything that's gone on, these two huge corporations now don't have the same relevance to everyone else. And there's a lot of people on Twitter who either want you to know that they utterly feel it or they don't give a shit. And the point is that, like, your league's struggling. It's just a really skewed ecosystem of a football place to play football right now. And I understand people still care about these teams because they're, you know, they've gotten their way out. Like, you know, I don't blame the fans for caring about Rangers winning over Celtic. But for everyone else, let's not pretend like it means the same to me. It doesn't.
Well, I genuinely don't
feel that passionate about this.
Of course,
I think
there's
a massive failing in the academies over there, right? You know, we used to have all these wonderful Scottish players that were produced. What? Where have they gone? Like Kenny Miller's been at Rangers for 50 years, has he? But where's the next Kenny Miller coming from?
You know,
why don't these Scottish teams? Why are they not investing in the youth academy? You know, we talk about how the English youth academy is absolutely failing. What the hell is going on in Scotland? You know, where's the last sort of player that there was this big excitement behind coming from Scotland? It's crazy that I don't understand. No, they go back to the teams of the, you know, you mentioned the 80s, Lawrence, but go back to that Celtic team that was the first British side to win a Champions League. They were all from the local area, what they were within 20 miles of the ground. Where's that gone? Where's that quality of talent gone? It's probably still there, but why is it not being drawn out? Why is it not being nurtured? And why? And it's sad. It is really sad because I'd love the Scottish League to be, you know, the two sides in the Scottish League to be Champions League, very competitive in there. That'd be great to see, but it's just not happening, is it?
No.
But I think there is that interest there in terms of, obviously, Rangers' collapse was so dramatic, and this is the first time they've obviously played Celtic since. It's sort of that journey back to the top. I know it doesn't hold the same historic, you know, luster anymore. But I think it's interesting that, you know, it meant so much to them. Obviously, you could see that from the celebrations. It meant so much to the players and the fans. And I think it's definitely a good thing to see them back to where maybe they should be.
100%.
Elsewhere this weekend, what else have we had?
Well, we're currently in a bit of a massive power switch in Spain as well, because Atletico Madrid have just beaten Granada 3-0. Koke was in inspired form. Goal and an assist. Fernando Torres also scored, and then Angel Carrera rounded off the victory. But it puts them level on points with Barcelona. Barcelona have got to go away to a resurgent Valencia team after Gary Neville's exit. Paco's been doing a pretty decent job over there. So it's going to be an interesting end of the Liga title race. Yeah. A title race that I quite frankly thought was over.
Exactly. I think everyone thought it was over. And then all of a sudden, Atletico Madrid come back. I mean, what do you make of Barcelona in recent weeks then, Dave? Because they have been off somewhat of a downward spiral. Hopefully they're going to arrest that tonight. But
structurally, they've been awful.
Yeah,
problem is they're just not defending as a unit anymore. I don't know what's happened. I don't know whether this Messi getting injured was a bit of a bad move for the whole team, because it meant that Neymar became the fulcrum of the side and you know, didn't have to defend, didn't have to track back anymore. And it seems like he's kept that when Messi's returned. See, Messi is a wonderful player, but you don't want Messi defending. You'd rather Neymar defend than Messi. And it just seems like it happened in the Champions League. They weren't compact enough against Arsenal. They weren't compact enough against Atletico Madrid. And it's a massive concern from Enrique. You know, he's really got to evolve this Barcelona team again in the summer. He's obviously evolved it before, but it's going to be a big, big task. You know, their signings of, you know, Arda Turan, not too keen on that as a signing for Barcelona. I don't think it fits Barcelona. They don't really play in a 4-4-2. They don't really play with wide players in a 4-4-2 that defend. He could probably do that, but that means you're dropping one of the front three, which you're obviously not going to do. So structurally, they could have gone another way. They could have potentially moved Messi inside, moved Messi a bit deeper, then put him. There's going to be some big sort of movements, I think, in Barcelona in the summer. Potentially even, you know, this sort of works out for Paul Pogba moving there to give them that life back.
Wow.
Yeah, get someone else who's undroppable in the team.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's four players. Rakitic, you're out. See you later.
Anything else to mention before we get on to the questions, the good stuff?
Liverpool obviously beat Bournemouth, and we went there, Adam. I just want to give that video a quick plug.
Oh, I was about to plug it with the first question. But,
oh, okay, fair enough.
Let's do it now anyway. Lawrence, you went to Liverpool 4, Borussia Dortmund 3. We sent you there for the bucket list for the Football Republic. Great video out on the channel. Make sure you go and check it out.
We called Liverpool. We said, listen, is this going to be a good match? They said, yeah. You know, do you want some tickets? We said, yes, please. We said, but we want to know what's the final score going to be. Don't worry, we'll win. And we said, cool, great, we're there. So on the night, we went along. And it was, I'd say, the closest to a footballing religious experience that I've ever had. And just, I'd say, one of the best bonding experiences between any set of fans that we've ever seen. Some excellent moments within there, like really nice minor details within it, which are sort of, you know, the Dortmund fans holding up the signs for the 96 during You Never Walk Alone. The whole stadium sort of doing a minute silence, but also some applause before and after that. There were a lot of people crying, I will say, in the cop at that point. A lot of grown men who looked hardened in life, you know, shedding a tear during You Never Walk Alone. Wow. At the beginning and at the end of the game. And afterwards, just sheer disbelief that Liverpool had gone and done that. And obviously, that's a huge thing for Liverpool this season. Obviously, they only, you know, they won 2-1 against Bournemouth. Really, it was 2-0. Bournemouth scored very late. And, you know, it was something which really gave Liverpool a lot to think, Liverpool fans a lot to sort of think about, and how far the team can go. But one thing that everyone has to realise around that is we can't do that every time. There has to be better performances. But what it showed was that there were some really great pieces of talent within that side. You know, Liverpool scored some good goals within that. There's a lot to take, even if they had to come from behind on it. What, I mean, you know, how many other, I don't care about comparing to other sides, but imagine going 2-0 down to a team and sort of thinking, right, we're out of this, you know?
It was that 3-1 was
3-1 was it was pretty. I mean, you see it in the video, Adam, as we sort of go, nothing's changed. Like, you know, we still have to score a fuck ton of goals in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And they did. And it was really impressive because Dortmund, and you know, accounted that. I mean, Dave's probably got more of a comment on this, but Dortmund pretty much crumbled. You know, you see Hummels when the first goal goes in from Origi. Origi sort of barges past him once he's got the ball, and Hummels just looks sort of dejected just to have conceded one. Mm. So it was unusual because, you know, I thought more of this Dortmund team. But when they were questioned, they sort of did fade, basically. You know, because that Origi goal and the Coutinho goal were fantastic goals from Liverpool. Really well played around, you know, essentially one of the strongest parts of this side.
Mm. It was an absolutely incredible game. Definitely go and check out the video on the Football Republic for now. That Louis Morad.
That's all I wanted to say.
No, like, Louis Morad is asking.
And I was like, here's a rant.
He is asking. Now Liverpool, now you've explained that, Lawrence, that you're through to the semi-finals of the Europa League. Louis Morad wants to know about Villarreal. Obviously, the opponent's thoughts going into that game on Villarreal.
Well, I think they're a good side defensively. I think only Atletico Madrid would have kept more clean sheets in the Liga this season. There, I think they've got 14 clean sheets. Atletico are on 19 or 20 after the Granada game. But what Villarreal have got, they've got some good, decent players, but structurally they're a very good side. Bakam, I'm going to absolutely choke this now. I've just choked it already. So up front, they've got a striker in real form in Bakambu, scored 9 goals in the Europa League this season. So he's their top scorer there. And they've also got Denis Suarez, the ex Barcelona graduate, now playing on the right hand side, who's got 6 assists, the most in the Europa League. So there is talent in this squad. So Liverpool obviously going to go in there. They've just beaten the best team in the competition in Borussia Dortmund. So they're going to go there with confidence, but they've got to give this side respect. And obviously Klopp will know that. So it's going to be a really interesting side to see whether they can deal with the big striker and Denis Suarez. I think they're the two danger men. But you've also got Bobby Soldado in there, Adam. So, you know, we do know about him, his goals.
The danger man.
So it's going to be interesting to see that. Yeah, again, the Liverpool performance was absolutely exceptional against Borussia Dortmund, but it sort of showed how Dortmund crumbled. They played like that against Schalke the weekend before, so it wasn't something new, but it just happened again where the game just got too open and they couldn't see out a leading position.
Yeah.
Do you feel confident then, Lawrence? Because as incredible as the win was, I think you pointed out there, the defensive deficiencies are what is worrying for Liverpool.
Oh, absolutely. Although, you know, again, it's sort of what Klopp manages to get out of that defence is also goals. And that's all that matters, really, is that, you know, Lovren and Sacco, just if they concede one, they go down the other end and they smash it in. Yeah, they, you know, there is a genuine intake of breath every time around Anfield, every time Sacco gets on the ball. But that's what it is. You know, I mean, Liverpool fans have got to accept that. And, you know, it is, they are at where they're at right now. And they need to give them that time. But these two are two good central defenders. You just need to give them that time.
This sort of ties into David Shanahan's question. Thank you for your question. Who's winning the Champions League and the Europa League now the draws have been done? Ooh, I'm going to say Sevilla and...
You still think Sevilla?
Yeah, I still think
you think Sevilla that Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool will get fucked by Sevilla?
Just think, how many finals is this going to have been for them in the last few years?
3 in a row.
If that happens, you know, we're getting around ahead of ourselves. But if that does happen, that would be sort of the ultimate belief of Jurgen Klopp versus, you know, the ultimate belief of a set of fans.
I think Liverpool could do it. You're sort of swaying me.
Thanks for sitting on the fence.
You're sort of swaying me, but I'm going to go for Sevilla and I'm going to go for Atletico Madrid.
Okay. Do whatever you want, mate. Madrid, brilliant.
You're going to go for Liverpool and...
I'm going to go for Liverpool and I'm going to go for... Ooh, good question. I won't go City. It would be funny if Pep ended up in the final against City, though, wouldn't it? I'm going to go Real Madrid.
Real Madrid?
Yep.
Real Madrid.
Yep. There you go.
Dave?
I'm going to go...
Oh, sorry, Atletico. I'll go for Atletico instead. I like them more.
I've got a horrible feeling it's going to be Manchester City winning the Champions League. And then I'm going to go with Sevilla because they are sick at the Europa League.
Yeah, see? They're sick at the Europa League, Lawrence.
Yeah, they are sick at the Europa League.
Sick, bro.
Dave, I'm sick of them in the Europa League, so...
Mate.
You know, I want to see something.
Right, mate, Jesus.
Jesus, next, pal.
Next question from Mohamed Shanta Coutinho. Thank you for your question, Mohamed.
Oh, I like Mohamed. Mohamed's maybe my favourite tweeter.
Wow, Mohamed. Consider your Sunday made. What sort of recruiting do LFC need to do to challenge for the league next season? What names, Lawrence? Götze and such?
You say Götze?
I'm not quite sure why. Götze and such.
I don't even think that's their least strong position. I think Liverpool need a fullback on the left. Someone to replace Lucas or Joe Allen. Although we'll see come the end of the season whether both those guys will leave, considering Emre Can is now out. And another striker, because Benteke is clearly out of favour.
Okay. Spurs is life, at Bidon Spurs said. Should Spurs sell anyone in the summer? I can't think of anyone at the moment who Spurs should sell. I think everyone, or a lot of the players, have played quite an important role, if not in the first team, then as a squad. The one name I can think of that comes to mind is Nabil Bentaleb, has sort of not really featured that much. He has been injured, however, for a lot of the season. I still wouldn't want to sell him, because I do rate him as a player. He was obviously very good last season as well. I don't think there's anyone we really need to desperately...
Do you think though? Do you think, Adam? That's my part of my problem, is that I'm almost a little bit too sentimental with some of these players. Do you have maybe just an element of sentiment, just a marginally too much sentiment on one or two of those players?
Like who? I don't have any sentiment towards Bentaleb. I just think he's quite good.
So I wouldn't believe you don't have sentiment towards Bentaleb. I mean, there isn't someone else.
I would be desperate to sell him. I mean, Fazio, I think, is on loan, so. We should probably try and sell Fazio if we can.
Do you not think it's more outrageous that Dier is not nominated for Young Player of the Season?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
if you're putting
Barkley in there...
He's one of the most improved players, isn't he? We said that a few weeks ago, Eric Dier.
Not only one of the most improved, but he's taken this... You know, he's taken up the mantle of a really important position within the Spurs team. And that's, you can't say that for Barkley. You know, if you're going to put anyone in there, it's going to be Dier ahead of Barkley, and I'm really finding it hard to see why Barkley gets in ahead. It's got to be
what
just
about Coutinho. What did you make of Coutinho getting nominated?
The thing is, Dave, when I was looking at Liverpool before the first leg, I saw Coutinho compared numbers wise to Royce.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, you know, they're only sort of very surface numbers like goals and assists, those sort of things, and sort of numbers on the pitch, chances create, that kind of stuff. It seemed quite favourable.
I think that's sometimes where you've got to go outside the box in a way. And Marco Royce has had a stop start season again with injuries. Exactly. When he's playing, God, Marco Royce is good. And I'd say Marco Royce is better than Coutinho when he's in form.
He's also ahead of him in terms of development.
Yeah, in development and age. Yeah, correct. You know, that's the problem with stats sometimes. Obviously, Coutinho again has had spells of this season where he's been exceptional, but also spells where he's been pretty anonymous. So it's interesting to see that their numbers do kind of link up in a way that they've both been in and out of their sides and not hitting that top form yet. But Coutinho will, and I imagine Marco Royce will again.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sort of putting either of them down. I was just sort of, I was trying to work out where Coutinho sits. I think he's an excellent player. I think he's probably technically one of the most gifted players in the league, which is probably why he's on that list, because he sort of gives it a bit of diversity in that sense. you know, he sort of ticks all the boxes. He's Brazilian. I'd say his touch is better than anyone else in that category. You know, and you know, you can say Dele Alli is fantastic, but it seems that Coutinho just has a, you know, even if he doesn't have the end product, he has this consistent entertaining factor, which doesn't come from a kind of grit. It comes from a sort of Brazilian charm. So I think that's probably more wise part in the game, is because it's almost like he's some sort of unusual foreigner that the FA like.
Spurs Life also said, if Spurs did win the league, will they be able to attract players like Isco, etc.? I wouldn't necessarily say that winning the league would make that any more likely than it already is, because it looks like they're going to finish second. Champions League football next season, obviously, well, probably the best team in the Premier League in terms of scored the most goals, conceded the fewest goals. I don't see why winning the league would necessarily make them, you know, significantly more attractive than they already are. That's what I'd say for that.
Yeah. I mean, surely it would put them on, you know, obviously... You can sort of go, well, we've done it, you know, there you go, and you will be part of this. It does help, you know, but you'd argue that because of what they've done and because of, you know, how good they are, players will want to go there because they've got a great system going on.
And they get to work under Poch, which is surely a dream.
There's going to be a lot of other teams, Adam, that have got managers that people want to work under. You know, there's Klopp, there's Mourinho, allegedly. There's, you know, all sorts of... Thanks, Bill. There's lots of other...
it's like we've not heard it before.
Yeah. It's not like, yeah, but you know what I mean, though.
Speaking of which, Lorenzo, the main man Lorenzo, writing
in. Castanon.
He's saying, will Simeone succeed at Arsenal?
What?
He's not there yet, well, mate. He's not there yet.
No, he's at our flight code,
he's not there yet. This calls for Simeone have been growing over the last few weeks, of course. As I said, today's result was another disappointing one for Arsenal. It's Groundhog Day, as always. Wenger in, Wenger out. But I think we said before, Simeone wouldn't necessarily suit the style at Arsenal. I feel like that playing style is something that the club will look to continue even after Wenger has left.
Yeah, I'd say so, 100%. Again, the question why Simeone would ever leave. There's so many talented young players at Atletico right now. Oliver Torres, Koke still young, Sol's young, Carrera's young, Griezmann's still young. There's just too many players that have got quality that
and fit. There's no need for him to leave that club.
Yeah, that's
not
it.
Someone who can't, you know, fulfil his ambitions with Champions League finalists potentially.
Yeah,
you know, as you said, still in the race for the title.
Massive new stadium coming. It seems like a crazy thing. And again, like the style you mentioned, would players like, if you're playing Iwobi and Sanchez out wide for Simeone, they're just not Simeone wide players. Simeone loves a central midfielder out wide that's going to work hard for you, and then two strikers that move around a lot. Again, up front for Arsenal, Olivier Giroud would probably fit Simeone. Sanchez playing up front would sit Simeone, but then I just don't, yeah, it doesn't. It's a really bad club fit, I think, like you mentioned, Adam. I think they've got this style. Why change it? The academy's geared towards playing this passing football. Obviously, potentially you're going to question why it's not working at the moment, because it's not being implemented properly, I'd say. So it potentially could be a time for change for Arsenal, but Simeone just isn't there. It doesn't fit at all for me.
Here's a good question from King H at Yanes Haddy on Twitter. What is the best combined 11 out of the UEFA Champions League semi-finalists?
Ooh, that's a good one, isn't it?
Let's go through it then quickly.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper.
So, none of the City players. Then.
whoa.
Goalkeeper. We'll see about that. Goalkeeper. Surely.
Relax, Dave.
Manuel Neuer.
It upsets Dave, doesn't it? Goalkeeper.
Neuer.
Yeah, sorry.
That's a given. Right back.
Is it Bakary Sagna?
We've got Sagna.
P-Lam.
P-Lam.
D-Carvajal. Or we have the legend that is Juan Fran. I think that's got to be P-Lam, right?
It's hard to look past Philip Lahm. It is hard to look past Philip Lahm.
Let's go with that. Philip Lahm, right back.
Diego Godín at the back, surely.
Yes. Godín now, and...
Boateng.
But again, he's been injured most of the year, so it'd be a little bit unfair to throw him in there ahead of the legend that is Sergio Ramos. No, I'm joking. He's a nutter. Otamendi? Mangala?
Oh, God.
No. Kimmich? David Alaba?
as erratic as Alaba's a great Sergio shout, Ramos you know. Is.
Well, oh,
we don't want him at left back.
Don't yeah, this is true. I think I might. Oh, yeah, I keep thinking of Barcelona players and then going, nah. let's put Alaba at left back.
And Sergio Ramos in the middle.
No,
even though he's erratic, I prefer him over Otamendi or Mangala. As good as Mangala has been in recent.
We've got Savic though, could be in there for Atletico. Very under the radar centre half. Let's go with Ramos, because if we don't, people are going to get mad.
Now, how many of you are playing midfield?
This what is a big question.
Dave, I'll give it to you this
one. I have a clue what formation we're going to play here, guys. This is. Let's go with like a 4-4-1-1 formation, because that looks quite, you know, interesting at the moment. You'd say Atletico play a similar style to that. City play that. You'd say Real Madrid. No, don't really play that, I suppose. Yeah, and Bayern play whatever they want to play, whatever day of the week it is. So,
all right, great.
Yeah, let's go with
4-1-1. That means two central midfielders, which is?
Oh, God, this is so hard. Got Koke, Tony Cruz, all the Bayern when you go. You got, Vidal has been awesome.
Vidal,
I reckon Vidal Cruz.
Vidal Cruz. And
then where's Koke going to play?
What about Vidal Koke?
Then what about Cruz? It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. What about Fernandinho as well? He's been absolutely awesome in the knockout stages.
Let's go for Vidal.
Yeah, good point. Although, not consistent. No gem.
Vidal, Koke. Boom.
Yeah, Vidal, Koke.
Who's on the right? Who's on the right in midfield, Dave?
Right, so we've got G Bale's been playing there for... Real, hasn't he? He's been very good since coming back from injury.
Back on form. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, then left.
Douglas Costa, maybe?
Nice.
One of the signings of the season. Yeah.
Then there's Cristiano Ronaldo, though. And then there's...
We could stick him on the left, though, surely. Or up front, even. Or even...
So on the right, we're talking about.
Let's get Bale in there. Boom.
Yeah, Bale on the right.
Left.
Raheem. So pretty much got to be
Sterling.
Could you go KDB?
No, KDB's going to play off the striker, mate. KDB's in the one behind.
I like that. Okay. KDB there. So on the left, we could.
KDB's off the striker. Then on the left, we go Ronaldo. It's
got to be Ronaldo, yeah.
Then the striker.
Ronaldo,
is it Guerra?
De Bruyne.
What about Griezmann, though?
Oh, I like that, Dave. That is lovely.
That'd be so fluid, that attack.
That is a good... You know what? We always do this, and then all three of us go, that's pretty good. And then someone tweets us and go, you didn't even think of it.
We've missed Thomas Muller, Lewandowski.
Yeah, that's fine.
Benzema. We're all right with that? No, Aguero's not in the team. Fernando Torres isn't in the team.
That striker is the question mark for me. Is it Griezmann or Aguero or Lewandowski? Good as Griezmann is, much as I like him, Lewandowski and Aguero might be a little bit above him, a little bit ahead of him.
Watch. There'll be a YouTuber out there, Adam, who's going to make a video about this now. I can guarantee it.
I reckon, right, let's go it. Lewandowski. We've got to go
Lewandowski?
With it. Yeah. Sorry, lads. We do like Griezmann. We're a big Griezmann podcast fan, but sorry.
So we've gone for Manuel Neuer, Philipp Lahm, Diego Godin, Sergio Ramos, David Alaba, Arturo Vidal, Koke, Gareth Bale, Ronaldo, Kevin De Bruyne, and Robert Lewandowski.
Oh, we haven't got any Barcelona players. Oh, wait.
It's because they're not in the semis, mate. The semis team.
Oh, shit.
There you have it. A combined 11. Let us know what you think. Send in your combined 11s on Twitter at @FromFree.
Oh, wait. We haven't got any Spurs. Oh, burn.
Sick bum, bro. Next question.
Should we do it with the UAL as well, Adam? Because Liverpool are in that one.
Oh, yeah.
No Man United players in there, Lawrence.
That's a good point, Dave. That's what makes me happy about that combined 11. The problem is, German. I can't name that many Villarreal players.
German said, who will be the top scorer in the top five leagues in Europe this season?
Won't be Jamie Vardy.
There's Latman. It's going to be, I think.
Is that man's going to win the Golden Boot, is he?
Well, the Zlatan can't win the Golden Boot, but your question was top scorer in European top five leagues. Unfortunately, the Zlatan only gets a 1.5 multiplier in the Golden Boot race.
Yeah.
So
he'll be overall top scorer, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll be the top scorer, but I reckon Ronaldo will win the Golden Boot.
Wow. Next question.
That's where the multiplier does help.
Harsh, oh, yeah. Singal said, Wenger, Conte, Pep, Klopp, Jose Poch, even Bilic and Ranieri. Is there an argument for the English Premier League not being the best league next season?
Well, I mean, best is subjective.
It is indeed. Best for managers. Premier League's always been good for great managers. The league has got the great players, you know. We've got the managers.
Good point.
I think it is. It's the best. I think it's the best ever league comprised of managers. I think no league's had this depth and this quality of manager.
Yeah. Or this diversity of manager is what you'd say.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like you could argue that, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them are probably, you know, boring on that sort of top level of manager. I'm not going to say world-class because I don't like calling things world-class, but definitely there at the top.
Mm. Speaking of which, Jose Mourinho. Next question from Preston. If Manchester United are to have a new manager next season, Preston's not convinced it's going to be Mourinho, and they can't finish fourth, wouldn't it be better to finish outside of the Europa League as well? If we are having a change / turnover / transition season next year, let's just focus on the league. So he sort of wants to finish outside of the top four this season and European football together so he can focus on the league.
Correct.
Hello.
Sound good, Dave?
Sorry, lads. My timer went off and I didn't hear that.
Well, Dave, why have you got a timer on, Dave? That's all I want to know.
Because I'm cooking some food, mate.
What are you cooking, Dave?
I'm cooking roast chicken and roast vegetables.
Leave this in, Adam. We need people to know that Dave is competent outside of stats.
What are you cooking, Dave? Some veggies?
Yeah, I'm cooking some roast chicken and vegetables, mate.
Oh, delicious. What vegetables you got with your chicken?
What I've got, I've gone healthy, right? So I've got celeriac.
Pasta?
Celeriac, sweet potato, red onion, and courgette.
That was lovely.
Not the best choice, I'd say, to go with chicken, personally. But
it's feeling summery. So I've got like summery veg with chicken because it's nearly the summer. So mentally, I'm not in the winter anymore, Adam.
I mean, it's hard to argue with logic like that, isn't it? Hard to argue.
Exactly.
The question coming up next is Bay v Bay said, which former Premier League team would you ideally like to see back in the BPL again? I assume he's talking about relegated teams. No, Leeds. I miss Leeds.
Oh, I don't miss Leeds.
They used to be a big club, didn't they? I used to enjoy having them in the Premier League, and now they're nothing. Well, not nothing. I wouldn't mind seeing Leeds back.
Yeah, Leeds would be fun.
Leeds would be fun. Any suggestions, Lawrence?
Blackburn.
Blackburn, good shout. Here's a good question from the main man, John Shin. Love John Shin. What steps / advice can you share for those wanting to pursue a job / career being involved in football media, such as you gents?
Helps to be middle class and white, mate. But apart
from... does.
Lawrence, that's terrible advice.
It's not advice, mate. It's just more... it's realism. Go and study something that you really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Learn everything, is what I would say. Be multifaceted. Don't just be... an editor, say.
But you know what, Adam? You might be wrong in saying that. You might be wrong in saying that.
No, I'm right in saying that.
No, I think you're wrong, because actually, if you really want to hone a craft, try and hone a craft. I think that's where, you know, obviously you can pick up a bit of camera, you can pick up a couple of other things. Find something that you really love doing and do it there. Because, you know, you can pick up a C300 or, a professional camera and use it a little bit. But it's really good to have something that you're really great at. YouTube isn't the only angle, you know? You can make something that's beautifully crafted.
No, journalism.
Yeah, journalism is a multifaceted industry.
Yeah, I would personally say, if you want to work in football media, Lawrence makes a good point about being an expert at a very specific thing. But I think if you're multifaceted, nowadays you're more likely to be hired and considered an important part of what you're working in. So, yes, you can be an expert on the camera, but if you can edit as well, if you can write, if you can do a bit of everything, people will sit up and pay attention. And nowadays, if you just go, I'm an editor, I can just edit, people don't want to listen to it, I'm afraid.
I'd just say just watch football as well. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Appreciate football, you know?
Just love football. Just love it. Which teams are Leicester most likely to get their 8 required points from to win the title? Said Lance.
Well, good, it's going to be a difficult Lance. One. Good top question, Lance. Thanks for setting those up for us.
Thanks for writing in. Swansea. You'd assume they'd beat Swansea.
You'd say so.
They're safe now, aren't they? So they might be on the beach, as it were. Man United. Could get them there as well.
I think that's going to be one of the ones where they'll fall up, I really do. Just because Man United are so dodge. And only 4 points behind Arsenal. Just not good enough, are they?
Leicester versus Everton at home. I could see them winning that one. I mean, Everton haven't won in 6 games in the league. Their form is not great.
Defensively, they're not looking good either. I think that could be one of the big ones where they could potentially claw the points. And it's Chelsea. If Chelsea are stopping Spurs winning the league, right, they're just going to play, John Terry in goal, right?
Pretty much. They didn't look like they were too fussed yesterday, though, against Man City.
No. That's the thing. Yeah, I reckon Chelsea, Leicester, and I reckon they might draw with United then.
Yeah, Chelsea, they're going to beat Swansea, they're going to beat Everton, they're going to beat Chelsea, they're going to draw with United. Yeah. They're not going to lose another game for it. Yeah, they've won the title. Next question. Is Luis Enrique finally showing his tactical ineptitude now his team is not performing? That's from Lorenzo A. Castanor. Thank you for your question, Lorenzo.
I mean, to be fair, some of the teams aren't losing by massive margins, are they?
No.
But I think it is what we said before in terms of the structure. It's just not good enough. And again, yeah, potentially he needs to evolve the side again. What we sort of spoke about earlier on in the podcast, that you need to continually move in football. If you stop for 1 second, that's it. It's like anything. It's like world. It's like politics. If you sort of rest on your laurels, then you're going to get started to lose and start to get beat again.
I don't necessarily think that. I think that, it's very difficult for that side to rest on their laurels, but it's also sort of after a while, you do need to keep things fresh and coming towards the end of the season. Yeah. It's hard to do that, especially... They lost that by a very narrow margin. Let's not forget that. It wasn't like they were thrashed by another team.
Thomas Lang said, who deserved to make the PFA Young Player of the Year shortlist more, Eric Dier or Anthony Martial? Now, we did discuss this earlier. Who deserved to make it more? I'm going to say Eric Dier. Call me biased all you want.
Well, I'm going to equally be as biased and then argue the case for the other man. It's got to be Anthony Martial. Been United's best player this season. A United team that's fifth in the Premier League. He's carrying them on his shoulders. He's the only man that's going to change the game. Again, you saw against Villa that, didn't play for most of the game, came on as a sub. United were awful going forward. I think he's one of the players that can make a difference. And that isn't what Eric Dier does. Eric Dier is a player that keeps things going. He breaks things up. So for what these journalists and what people like, it's attacking players. And that is why Anthony Martial should be on the list ahead of Eric Dier. I don't actually believe that. That is a load of rubbish.
Lawrence, I think you have the deciding vote here.
I'll go with Adam on this one. Although I think I agree with Davey, has been absolutely fantastic. But I think the trivial nature of the way that Dave made his argument.
Is Eric Dier underrated though? That's the big question for everyone.
Right, Dave, get out.
Overrated, did you say?
Underrated. Like Thomas Muller, underrated, isn't he?
Right, Dave, time for you to hang up. I believe you've got other stuff to do, like cooking.
We've got 3 more questions before we go.
Fine. Yep, you
people
be my
have
guest.
Been sliding into the DMs.
Oh, they have, haven't they? They really are shameless in the way they do that.
It's just sliding in. I love it.
Just before we finish this, guys, have we picked a winner for the football?
Oh, we're coming to that. We are coming to it.
Okay, just checking.
Soliman said, for the next pod, what's your favourite name in football? Not the funniest, the one you like most. Mine is Divock Origi. Sounds like the next captain of the Enterprise or the rogue outlaw all the other characters in the movie are aware of. A name that should only be whispered. I'm overthinking this. Whatever. What's your favourite? That's a great question, Solomon. Favourite name in football?
I like Etuhu. Oof. Etuhu's a good one because it would always make the commentator sound like he's just sneezed.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Bless you. Etuhu. Bless you. Etuhu with a great pass. You're right, mate.
Bless you. Gesundheit.
Dave. Yeah, Etuhu. I think he plays on the right wing. Oh.
I quite like Anthony Martial because it's obviously he's a French lad coming from France, and it's interesting how when Manx say Anthony Martial, it's Anthony Marshall. I like that. It's got like the two names. Yeah, Tony Marshall. I just like that. It's quite funny. It's got this duality to it. Doesn't exist much in football.
Someone the other day pointed out that Antonio Valencia and Antonio Valencia were all playing on the same pitch, and they were just wondering if that had ever happened before. Chris and I couldn't quite work it out on the podcast, but we were thinking it was somewhere between. There's got to be like a Jesus and a first name Jesus and those kind of things. No one replied because it's too hard.
Yeah, no one knows is the answer.
No one.
My favourite is that Chelsea youth player called Naughty Naughty. Yeah, that one.
That's a good. That is JJ Okocha is pretty satisfying. Any footballer with a double name is great, isn't it?
JJ Okocha, yeah, that is actually a great name. Right, final few questions. Oliver Stapley said, "Great podcast, boys. Slide into the DMs. It gives him a bit more time to ask his question. I like that.
Okay.
A few more characters after the news about the Olympic.
Going to be doing that
after the news about the Olympic Stadium deal for the club. West Ham and the bad press West Ham have received today." Saying we basically stole it. I think it's only right I should be able to defend my club. I know you don't do fans on the podcast, but I'd like to give a few views on this issue and try and explain a few bits with either a written piece or a small chat with you guys, if either of those are possible. Even if it's not, your podcast is great, boys. Keep it up, Oliver. Now I see why he slid into the DMs.
Fantastic stuff, Oliver. No, it isn't possible, but thanks for writing in anyway. We appreciate your efforts. Next question. Okay.
Why don't you send us like a maximum 1 minute, but ideally 20-30 seconds of just a little bit explaining and you know, setting up for us to discuss it, get your point of view across, and we'll discuss it in the next Q&A podcast. How about that? Rishab Singh, the main man, said, do Liverpool need to buy a set piece specialist this summer?
After the frustration of watching Liverpool Dortmund, they don't need to buy a set piece. They just need someone who can cross the ball.
How many times did James Milner fail to get his corners beyond the first man lines?
A lot of times.
I think it may have been 10.
It was ridiculous. And the cop was
James. They got bloody furious. I was thinking that today. I was like, everyone forgot about all the negatives essentially after that game. It was like,
oh no, I think in our post match review on TFR, Adam, we did say Liverpool need to get.
You were very fair. You were very fair, Lawrence.
Really? Yes, they need someone who can deliver a cross, basically. Because, you know, if Liverpool could deliver crosses, they've got people in the box who are capable of putting away, like Daniel Sturridge proved with a head of day, like Sacco and Lovren proved. You know, there's a lot of possibilities. And I think, you know, Dave will probably agree. You know, you need people who can make the most of your set pieces, because you'll make so many, you know, you get so many more chances. It's essentially like a free cross. What are you doing not making the most of that?
I think that you can look at Manchester United, especially like against Aston Villa. What were they doing? They were getting them forward and they were playing short ball passes, and they wouldn't even get it into the penalty area. It's absolutely crazy. I didn't think with James Milner, obviously he does get a lot of stick for some of his corners and that type of thing, but overall he's not the worst crosser in the Premier League. You know, he's up there in the top six in terms of completed crosses. So I think it's one of those things where potentially from set pieces he's not good. In open play, I think he's really decent. They're coming onto his left foot or coming onto his right foot at the right time. He's good. He's got quite a good cross accuracy actually in the Premier League. It's one of the, you know, it's up there. I think it's like about 33%. So that's really decent for a player. But I just think it's set pieces. Liverpool need someone. United need someone. I think there's a bit of a lot of teams that do need that. You look at Dimitri Payet. He's probably up there with one of the best deliveries, or Willian's pretty decent his delivery this season, Ericsson. But there's other clubs that don't have that.
Yeah, and you know, you can't be one of the top clubs and not have that. Although, you know, apparently James Milner's got something like 9 assists this season, which puts him only 2 behind some of the best in Europe. So, you know, he's not the worst.
Before we go, 2 things. Firstly, it's time to pick the comment of the week. And who is going to be the winner of our Football Manager 2016 competition? A couple of nice reviews coming in. I'll read out my favourites, guys, and we've got to decide who is the winner. First up, Hilts116. The front three is quality. Loving to hear a mixture of different viewpoints from different teams. Love listening to the show and gutted there are not more episodes. He wants more. He gets 2 a week, but he wants more.
Greedy.
Ollie 6000 said the whole pings in great questions and the hump front three smashed them into the back of the net every time with a perfect hat trick of answers. Lawrence narratives and institution, Dave's stats and Adam's banter and direction. Hashtag great podcast. Hashtag 100% chemistry. Hashtag I am the whole. Hashtag narratives about institutions.
Ooh, good.
I like that one. Okay. Do you like that one, Ollie?
Yeah. Pretty good. How many codes do we have? I mean, we need more codes, I think would be my point.
Ant times Ant said the only thing that could be better than this podcast would be the true Geordie finding out Newcastle have rehired John Carver.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Someone actually not did bad. Tweet, you know, we tweeted out earlier that the gif of DJ Khaled going crazy. Someone said that needs to be the true Geordie. I was thinking, do we raise the money so that we can just put true Geordie naked in a pool with champagne?
What else is Kickstarter for? I mean, this sounds like a great... This could lead me on to my next point, but we'll come on to that. Two final shout-outs. One from Ant Times X. Sorry. One from Dan Barker, who said, not going to lie, this podcast is more magical than Leicester City and Wes Morgan winning the league. Stunning. But my pick for the winner, as good as that was, is Revenger 556. He said, love the analysis from Dave, but sounds like a nutter. So does Adam and Lawrence. Maybe this should be called the Free Nutters. But love the content and would recommend to friends.
Ooh, well, now, I mean, don't just would recommend. Recommend it to friends.
Yeah, you don't have to say you would do it. Just do it. It's great. My pick for the winner is Revenger 5556, saying we should recall the podcast the Free Nutters.
Because I agree. That'd be perfect.
We're all nutters. So, do you agree, Lawrence?
I'm struggling between that and, you know what's so mean is you read out the other two, so they know how close they were.
I know. I did like the use of hashtag 100% chemistry, though, from Ollie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking was...
You know what, let's give it to Ollie, because I like that line. The whole ping's in the great question.
Yeah, that is... Yeah.
Smash him into the back of the net.
Yeah, that was a good
football
line.
Metaphor, hashtags, it sort of had everything.
Ollie gets it, because I want Ollie to build that team. I want Ollie to build a football team called The Hole. Oh my God, that's a YouTube series if ever I heard one.
I mean...
Adam, are you going to have to sell Ollie... this other lad some Ferrero Rocher to make him feel better now after you've just, you know, given him the prize and taken it away? You like that?
Okay,
was
Revenger.
It the beauty, Miss World, that the presenter did Dave, it twice? He bottled it like
you made
that,
a good
mate.
Point. You made a good point. Revenger, slide into my DMs and you may well get yourself some Ferrero Rochers. Ollie, slide into Dave's DMs and he is going to give you that football manager code. There you have it. The winner is Ollie. Congratulations.
Well played, sir.
That's me clapping. I'm not sure if you can hear it. I'm not sure what it sounded like. Final point to make is, very excitingly, gents, the front three is 1 year old next week.
No way! How are we going to celebrate? Everyone send in £5. Venmo us £5.
Well, the question is, how do we celebrate?
Money.
What I'd like to know,
Oh.
What we want to know on Twitter at the front three is, how should we celebrate the front three birthday? Do we do a special podcast? Do we try and do some sort of meet up, the five aside we've been talking about?
Oh my God.
I mean,
yes,
I don't know. Do we drink lots of Peronis?
No, let's do some Peronis.
Sponsor us Peronis.
I think we need to make it a week long event.
I mean, I think only a week would do such a momentous occasion justice, a week long celebration.
That is good, Adam. God, do you remember that, guys? Do you remember doing the first ever podcast? Do you remember the excitement of sitting in the room and sort of like
palpable, you know, electricity in the air is the only way that it can be described.
It was Dave and I were literally like rubbing our legs, and that was the problem.
Oh, that was what it was.
That was the main issue. Yeah.
So they have it a year next week of the Front Free podcast. Tweet us at the Front Free. How should we celebrate our birthday?
And what's been your highlight? I want to know what everyone's highlight has been. What's been the actual find us a specific highlight and tell us that.
Yes,
exact
tell us your highlights. That's a great shout. Also, if you want to give us a birthday present, as it were, go on iTunes and rate and review the podcast, because it's really nice of you to do such a thing. Right. We would like it very much.
Yeah.
So, see you next week for the Front Free birthday edition. Until then, though, Lawrence, where can the good people find you and your face?
You can find my face on YouTube at the Front Three. You can find me on Twitter at LozCast, LozCast. Where can people find you, Dave?
You know, go on to YouTube, Dave Talks. I did a video this week with some music, It hasn't been well received, but I always like feedback. So,
Dave,
if you tweet me with the feedback saying, like, Dave, that was absolutely rascal, mate, what are you playing that? That's good feedback, and I won't do it again.
Good. Excellent.
What I like is if you type in Dave Talks into YouTube, yes, your channel comes up, Dave, but the first video is Megadeth's Dave Mustaine Talks Dystopia.
It makes sense. I mean, I'll give him that.
Yeah. That was my old stuff. Anyway.
You can find me on Twitter at Adam Bold. You can find all of us. As it happens on the Football Republic. Until now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Next week, have a bloody good Monday and Tuesday. Yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday.